Pastor.
Nobody sneaked it in on you. We're going to get right going this morning. We've got a lot to cover. Brother Heath asked me if we were going to get all this done today, and I said, just watch. We do have a lot. So the first screen here at the top of your outline, I actually give you a copy of what we're going to be covering during the different weeks. We're not going to go over this right now, but I wanted to give it to you as a reference. It's not set in stone. We may add some subjects. There's going to be some subtopics that we're going to talk about within these. But just wanted to give you an idea of where we're going to go with the series. We're going to jump right in now, and I'm going to start out by reading this poem written by Clyde Box to you. Number one on your outline, it says, though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. This old book is my guide, a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way. Each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I heed it and read it each day. The Word of God is precious, folks. That's one of the things we're going to talk about right off the get-go. We've got three different goals for this series. I've got them listed there on as number two on your outline. I don't have a copy of your outline in front of me, so if I'm off on something, just forgive me there. The first goal we have here is, Pastor mentioned it just the other day, and that's to be settled on the Word of God. The King James Bible is the Word of God, folks. I'm going to come right out and tell you right now, right off the get-go, it is the Word of God. But we want to be settled. We don't want to just say that. We want to have reasons. We want to know it for a fact. And we're going to cover some of those things over these weeks. All throughout time, Satan has tried to cloud the issue of what God has said. Right there in your outlines, I have the portions of Scripture out of Genesis where he came and basically deceived Eve into believing that God was lying to her, that he hadn't really said what he had said. And that's still going on today, but today, instead of just being Satan in the Garden of Eden, it's being done with other Bibles. And we're going to look at many of those truths as we go through this. God wants us to be settled on this issue. He doesn't want us to doubt. He doesn't want us to wonder about it. Ephesians 4:14 in your outline says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We need to be settled on this issue, and at the end of this series, I certainly hope that's the case. The second thing I've listed on your outline there, letter B, is to grow in our love for the Word of God. We can never love the Bible enough, folks. We can never love it enough. It's God's Word. He loved it enough to give it to us, and we need to grow in our personal love for the Word of God. Pastor's going through this series right now in the book of Revelation on Wednesdays. We get done with that series, if the only thing we are is smarter, we're in trouble. We wasted our time. We need to have a bigger burden for the lost to help reach them for Christ before they go through what we're talking about in that class. When we get through with this series, I hope you love your Bible more. That's one of our goals in this series. The Bible is so precious, folks. It truly is. The third thing I've listed there is to be a help to others. Now, I listed it there as a point, kind of an obvious point, but the reason I wanted to talk about it is you've got to be careful with this issue. The Bible says to speak the truth, but it says to speak it in love. You cannot just go up to people and say, that Bible you got's of the devil, you're going to hell and you need to change. It's not going to work, folks. How would you feel if somebody came up to you and talked to you like that? So I want you to give some thought, be kind, or be gentle when you talk to people about this issue. Because quite honestly, you're asking them to change more than just Bibles. Odds are, the Bible they carry is the Bible their church uses. It's the Bible their pastor uses. It's the Bible their friends use. You're asking them to change a lot more than just a Bible. Whether you realize it or not, you really are. Let's move on to number three in our outline. Where would we be without God's Word? Well, that's pretty simple. We'd be lost. We wouldn't have a clue, folks. You could be lied to and not even know it. The only reason you know today truth is because somebody taught them to you. If I told you this carpet I'm standing on is red, how many of you believe me? Not one. Why? Because it was a day in your life where somebody taught you what the color red looked like, right? You know, the same thing's true about the Bible. If we don't read it, if we don't know what it says, we could believe a lie so easily. And it's important to have the right Bible, to have the truth of God's Word. What if I told you things like this? Would you believe them? Would you believe you have to confess your sins to pastor to get to go to heaven? No, of course not. Would you believe it's wicked to play musical instruments here in the church? That it's sinful? Would you believe you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, not the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and speak in tongues to get to go to heaven? Would you believe that? Not me. Would you believe you need to deny that Jesus is God to have salvation? Would you believe you need to go to church on Saturdays in order to have salvation? Would you believe you got to perform good works and maybe you'll get to go to heaven? I see a lot of head shaking out there. Why not? Here's one of my favorite ones. Man, you'll like this. Would you believe that when you die, you get your own planet, you get to be a god, and you get to be a god over your planet? Now, ladies, you won't like the other side of this because you get to be perpetually pregnant, supplying people for your husband's planet. Sorry about that, but you laugh, but you know what? Everything I just said is being taught in churches across this country, across this world. As ridiculous as that just sounded, that is being taught. The only reason we don't believe those things is because we've got the Word of God, we've read it, and we know the truth for ourselves. Otherwise, we would be just as vulnerable to believe those lies as the people that believe them today. Millions of people are in churches that teach the things I just said today. Number four in your outline, we know that the Bible is God's holy word. I'm settled on that. But how can we know for sure? You know, it's a legitimate question when somebody comes and asks you, how do you know you're in the right church? How do you know you've got the right Bible? What about the Quran? What about the Muslims? What about fill in the blank? How do you know? And we're supposed to have an answer, people, of the hope that's within us. So we need to have answered this. So I spent the next few items here in the outline, just before we get into the whole issue of which translation we need to be reading, the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. Let's jump right into this. I'm not going to go through all these details. That's how we're going to get done on time, Brian. Letter A, there's some external truths that we can look at. The Bible is historically accurate. There are records today that prove the people that the Bible talks about existed. The cities that the Bible talks about existed. There are documents. Josephus is a good reference. Josephus, if any of you have ever heard of him, was a blind Pharisee. You take the scripture in Genesis where it talks about bruising the head of the snake or the serpent. He literally thought that meant you should step on every snake. Read his book. That's what it says. But it's still a good history book for us. And many of the things in Josephus' writings even bear witness of the fact of Jesus Christ and other things that were going on. There's writings in the book of Daniel, for example, that talk about the empires that were going to be before they even took place. Letter B. We will be moving around pretty quickly today. It's the only book that's honest about man's fallen condition. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's the only book out there that tells you that, folks. Any other book out there is not going to tell you that you are a sinner, that you're fallen, that you need salvation. God tells us that because he loves us. But it's the only book that's honest to us and tells us that we do need a Savior. Letter C, there's over 300 prophecies fulfilled by Jesus Christ himself. I've listed some of those in your outline. The fact he was born of a virgin, he was sold for 30 pieces of silver, he was silent before his accusers, wounded and bruised, beaten and spit upon. These are all things that were written hundreds of years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Yet, he fulfilled every single one of these prophecies, even to the one where Pastor talked about on the cross. He said it that it might be fulfilled in the scriptures. Another external evidence is it's thousands of years ahead of science. I love this one. I really do. Number two on your outline, 1650, they figured out that the earth was held in place by an invisible force. Wow, that was in Job chapter 26, thousands of years before man figured it out. How about number nine in your outline? These are two of my favorites, 9 and 11. Did you know that down in the oceans they have fresh water springs in the oceans? And did you know that at the bottom of the oceans there's huge mountains? Did you know that? Well, we know that today, but you know what? A couple hundred years ago they didn't know that. They didn't have anything to go down there to the bottom of the ocean to figure that out. But look, what book was that written in? The book of Jonah and the book of Job, Old Testament books a long time ago. And some people will say, well, that was written in after the fact. What, after 1900s? We didn't know it till the 1900s when people started getting down there to see these things. These are truths in the Word of God that are way ahead of science that proves that it was more than just a man that wrote this book. Letter E, Satan inspires hatred for God, for the Bible, and for God's people. Satan does not want to see the gospel go out. You go to your place of work, your school, whatever it is, you tell people about Jesus, you hand out tracts, you pray in the name of Jesus and see if Satan does not rear his head against you, folks. Just the fact that the scripture is so opposed is just one more evidence. I listed also the archaeological discoveries. We don't need any of these external evidences to prove to us as Christians that the Bible is the Word of God, but they exist just the same, folks. The cities that the Bible talks about really existed. The temples really existed. In Turkey, they've got a tourist center set up so you can come and look at what's left of Noah's Ark. These things are, the people dig and they find these evidences all the time. But these last three evidences is the one that I really wanted to talk about this morning. The first one is the evidence of the authority of Jesus Christ himself in letter G. Jesus did many different things while he was on earth to prove that he was God, the things that he said, the things that he did. And Jesus, on his own authority, quoted the scriptures, giving validity to their truth. Look in your outline under the authority of Jesus at Luke 24:25. O fool and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus could use the scriptures to talk about himself because he knew they were reliable. He knew they were dependable. How about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a great evidence. Christians, we know the Holy Spirit's real. We know he lives within us. We know he speaks to us. He confirms things that are true. The Bible says in Romans 8:16, says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. And also, Pastor, you just covered the scripture, but I want to talk about it again. 2 Peter chapter number 1 in your outline. And I was just talking this morning with Carol Ann about this. Let's read through these verses together real quick. Verses 17 through 21. It says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What that's talking about, folks, is when Jesus was transfigured on the mount and they heard the voice come down from heaven, what this scripture is teaching right here is that when you hold the Bible in your hand, you're holding something more sure than the words that they heard that day on the mountain of transfiguration from heaven of God speaking himself. The Bible is sure. The Bible is true. I'll read on. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place unto the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What that scripture is simply teaching, it does not teach in verse 20 that you can't go home and read your Bible and know it yourself. What that scripture is teaching is that men did not just write down whatever they want to put into the Bible. God, through the Holy Spirit, spoke to these men and directed exactly what they were to put into the scriptures. It was not what they wanted to put, it was what God said to put in the Bible. And also on letter I, the authority of God the Father, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So with that, let me ask you this question. If the Bible is the Word of God, and I just told you that it is, who has a right or an authority to take away from it? A very serious question. Does your pastor have a right or authority to take away from the Word of God? What about your dad or your mom telling you that verse doesn't belong in the Bible? You shouldn't listen to that. What about college professors? We've got some college students in here today. What if your professor tells you, you know, no reputable Bible scholar would ever quote that verse because it really doesn't belong. And I've heard that. That's a direct quote, ladies and gentlemen. The truth of the matter is nobody has a right. It's God's word. We're not supposed to tamper with God's word. We're not supposed to touch it. We're supposed to live it and obey it. Let me read you a couple of the scriptures we have there in your outline under number 5. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. Drop down to Revelation 22:19. It says, if any man will take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. It's a serious thing, folks. We ought not be fooling around with the Word of God. It's off limits, hands off, don't touch it. Read it, live it, love it, cherish it, but don't be detracting from it, taking away or adding to. Number 6 in your outline, we've established that that God has inspired the Bible. But where would the Bible be, or what good would it be to inspire a Bible that was never preserved? If I had a perfect Bible right here in my hand, and I do, And God inspired it, so it's perfect, and then it got lost, and nobody could ever find it again. What good would it be, folks? We need a Bible here on earth that we can read today, that we can know God, that we can be protected against the lies of Satan so we don't get caught up in some of these false teachings that I read earlier today. Well, God has told us from His Word that He has promised to preserve it. Psalms 12, 6 and 7 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Psalms 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth to all generations." Mark 13, 31, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away." God has promised to preserve His word, and God has kept His promise, folks. Where is it? Where is it? That's the question we're all here for, right? Where is the Word of God? Well, all the first edition original manuscripts that were written, say Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, it's gone. It does not exist today. You cannot produce it. Okay? So that leaves you with two choices. Number one, you can learn Koine Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, get all the manuscripts you could possibly find, decide which ones are good and which ones are corrupt, because they do differ. Read and translate it all for yourself and hope you don't make one mistake. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Option number two, read your King James Bible. It's a whole lot easier, and it is God's preserved word. Moving on. Too many pages here, Pastor. All right, next slide I want to show you on here. This is also in your outline. There's basically two families of manuscripts in existence today. Okay, on the left here, family A, we've got the Antioch manuscripts, the Erasmus Greek text, the received text, majority text. And from those manuscripts, we have Bibles that have been written out of this family. On the other side of your outline there, you have a second family. We have manuscripts that have came out of Alexandria, Egypt. And from them, others have been produced, the Vaticanus, the Sinaiticus, Westcott and Hort in 1881. We will definitely be talking about that more. That's the same Greek text that the Jehovah's False Witness Bible comes from. It's the same Greek text that has all the same changes that some of these other Bibles here that I've listed have in them. The same verses that the Jehovah's Witness Bible deletes is the same verses that the NIV deletes. We'll look at that later. We're not going to spend time on it right now. But I wanted you to see that there are two different families of Bibles because there are two different families of manuscripts. So get used to this slide. You'll be seeing it again. Throughout time, man has refused to obey God and submit themselves to God. We see it from the earliest of times in the Garden of Eden, how Adam and Eve actually disobeyed God and ate of the fruit. We see it in the Old Testament scriptures. I remember when Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice?" He wasn't willing to be under God's authority. He thought he was authority unto himself. And unfortunately, what you're going to see is that's what the case is today as well in our country. We look at the Old Testament scriptures, especially the book of Judges is a great book, because it shows how that man continually disobeyed God and did not do what God told him to do and went into captivity. God would send them a deliverer. Short time, they would go back into captivity. God would send them a deliverer. Short time, they would go back into captivity. They were not willing to be obedient to the word of God and to do what God had told them. But we can take that a lot more personal, folks. We can take that to ourselves today, to our own country. Some serious things happened in our country around the 1960s. And I'm going to show you some slides here in a couple of minutes that shows you the fruit of it. One of the most significant things that most of you are familiar with is Madam O'Hara. She went to the Supreme Court. She had prayer and reciting the Bible scriptures removed out of the public schools. And I'm telling you, our country during that time frame turned its back on God and on God's word. And you'll see what I'm talking about here in a moment. But it also speaks of what Christ talked about in Luke 19 in your outline, verses 12 through 14, because we've turned our back on Christ as well. It says, "And there was certain..." He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, We will not have this man to rule over us." And unfortunately, folks, that's what's going on a lot today. People are not willing to be under God's authority. I was just talking with Mrs. Stevens this morning about somebody, that same situation. They are not willing to be under God's authority. Well, not only has man refused God's authority, but they've refused the authority of his word as well. Look at number 9 in your outline. If Pharaoh were around today, he would probably declare, where is the word of God today that I should obey it? The Bible has warned us of this day. I've got a couple scriptures there in your outline under number 9, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, from God's word, and shall be turned unto fables, or we could say lies. Today it's mega churches, folks. There's churches today that will have 20,000 in attendance in both services. They'll fill large basketball arenas. They'll come in jeans, flip-flops, rock music. They'll sing out loud. There'll be white and yellow stage lights with smoke rising from the platforms. That's what man wants today. They'll have sermons. They'll stop for applause. And they'll watch videos on a jumbo screen of the big Christian Gone Wild beach scene on the screens. They'll feature huge stage, rock bands, pastor personalities, and gross in over $8.5 billion. Because today, people have turned away their ears from hearing the truth of the Word of God and have been turned unto fables. People still have the proverbial need for God in their heart, but they're filling it with things that aren't true, folks. They go to a church, they listen to a pastor that smiles, tells them, thanks for being here today. We're so glad you could take time out of your schedule to be in our service today. They tell them how lucky God is that you were able to come and grace him with an appearance today and make it to church. But they refuse to preach the word of God. They refuse to preach the word of God. Today we need to be told about sin. We need to be warned. We need the whole counsel of God. We don't need someone to just stand and tell us what good people we are and how lucky God is to have us. We need the Word of God. With the soft sell church comes a soft sell Bible or no Bible at all. I was just talking to someone this morning. They said, our pastor never opens the Bible. He just tells us something, but it's always good. You know what? What a waste. God didn't die for that. All the martyrs that went to the stakes and burned themselves alive so that they could have a copy of the Bible, they didn't die for that, folks. We need the Word of God. We need every bit of it. Today, America has turned its back on God and his word. Look at number 10 in Jeremiah 44. I couldn't help but think of these scriptures as I was putting this outline together. Verse 16 says, as for the word which thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goes forth out of our own mouth. A God unto themselves, folks. And that's where America is today. Men and women don't. They want God, but they want him on their terms. They want to serve and worship God, but they want to serve and worship God on their terms. They want a Bible that fits their lifestyle and does not condemn it on their terms. Look in your outline under number 11. I'm going to read it out of this. The pastor found on this pulpit. the New Revised Standard Version. I want you to listen to what it says. This is an introduction, and it tells you what the translators would say to you, the reader. Okay, you follow along in your outline right there under the New Revised Standard Version. I'm going to read it directly from here. The Revised Standard Version Bible Committee, because no translation of the Bible is perfect, including theirs, or is acceptable to all groups of readers. Did you catch that? Let me read it again. Or is acceptable to all groups of readers. Isn't that backwards? Do we need a Bible that's subject to us or relevant to us? Or do we need to be relevant to the Bible, folks? That's the truth. People today are looking for a Bible that does not chap their hide. They don't want to be told, thus saith the Lord. They don't want to go to church and have their sins discovered out in the public because the preacher's got a message from God and he preaches what the Holy Spirit tells them. They want to go and get a soft sell today. And with that, a soft sell Bible. There's other groups, I put them in your outline. PETA calling for the NIV translators to come up and not offend the animals by calling it. They want it he and she so they don't hurt their self-esteem. We've got other gender-neutral Bibles out there. They've taken he completely out of the Bible. It's not even the Son of God anymore. It's the child of God. Read along with me right there. For God so loved the world, God gave God's only child. Is that what your Bible says? I don't think so. People are making the Bible subject to what they want it to say, instead of simply reading it and obeying it for themselves. It doesn't stop there. Read on with it. Not content to stop there, they also decided to make the Bible accessible to left-handed people by replacing right-handed imagery. God's hand now becomes God's right hand now becomes God's mighty hand. Folks, it's not important what I want. It's what God said that's important. We don't need a Bible to be relevant to us. We need to be relevant to the Bible and obey it. Pastor's going to start this series today on the prodigal son. Unfortunately, I have to tell you today that we're a prodigal nation. We've turned our back on God. We've turned our back on His Word as a nation. And unfortunately, there's some fruits from that, folks. And that's what I want to show you right now on the slides. We're going to go through these fairly quickly, but I want you to see. Remember I told you there were some major changes that happened around the 50s, 60s, and 70s? I want you to see the fruit of some of those changes. The first one here, this one actually doesn't start until 1977. It's the AIDS epidemic. And you can see the climb in that. Now, what I want to show you on all these, we're not going to spend a lot of time on these, but you see the black arrow on the left. That's approximately 1963. I know this one points weird, but it's because of how the chart resized. Honestly, it pointed to 1963. This first one here shows how many unmarried couples are living together since 1963. Look at the trend. The next one, percent of U.S. teen girls having premarital sex. This bottom column, that's 14-year-old girls. 15-year-old girls, 16-year-old girls, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old girls, 1963. Sexually transmitted diseases, 1963. Look at the trend. Unwed pregnancies. The green section right here is girls 10 to 14 years old. Look at the increase. Girls 15 to 19. Look at the increase over what it was. 1963. It's not by coincidence that all these charts look this way, folks. Unwed birth rate. This is all ages combined. Same difference. This one was pretty interesting because it broke down different ethnic groups, but what I wanted you to see is 4 out of 10 children are born to unwed mothers. Single parents. We were around 7%. Now, in year 2000, we were up almost to a third of all children being born to single parents. Divorce rates have skyrocketed, 1963. Child abuse, 1963. And this isn't just physical abuse, this is neglect. We've got parents right now today sitting at home passed out on their couches because they can't get up because they're still high on drugs. And their children are taking care of themselves, trying to feed themselves, trying to get water for themselves. Drug use skyrocketed, 1963 on up. With drug use, drug arrests since 1963. Violent crimes in our country, 1963. You see the fruit of this, folks? People turning themselves from the Word of God. This is people in prison. This is federal. This is state until 1955. And then after 1955, we got 1963 and the same difference. People waiting on death row, 1963. It was unconstitutional for a while, but you can follow that trend. It ain't hard to see. Folks, something changed in our country in the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. And a lot of it had to do with people turning away from God, turning away from His Word, and no longer being under the authority of God's Word. Now, I want to show you something else on the slides regarding the Bible translations themselves. And I think you'll be surprised when you see some of this information. In 1300 to 1600, there were 8 translations of the Bible that I could find in a period of 301 years. Yeah, they are listed right here. 300 years, 8 translations. 1601 to 1900, another 300-year period, another 8 translations came out. 1 new Greek text. We will definitely be talking about this later. Westcott and Hort. So 600 years, we've had 16 Bibles. Not good, not bad, right? Compared to what you're going to see. Now, everything changes. These are 25-year periods. We only had 6 translations from 1901 to 1925, but this is only 25 years. So the pace picked up a lot right after that new Greek text came out on this last slide right here. OK, Okay? 1926 to 1950, another seven translations come out, 25 years. So pretty consistent. The Jehovah's Witnesses came out with their new Bible right here in 1950. 1951 to 1975, it shot up. Remember I told you 1960 things changed? 24 different translations came out in that 25-year period. And I'm sure there's some I didn't find. These are the ones I just happened to find for you. I didn't look hard. 1976, I know you can't read that, but it went so small we can't read it either. 1976 to 2000, 41 Bibles came out in 25 years. Now, when I tell you that America's turned its back on God and on His Word, do you see where I'm coming from? There are so many Bibles out there, you're bound to find one that fits your lifestyle that you'll like. And then since 2000, believe me, it hasn't gotten better. It's only been 10 years. We've got 27 new translations in 10 years and at least 7 more in the works right now. All that's tallied up for you in your outlines right there in that chart. You can see that on your own. But we know that God is not the author of confusion. The verse is right there, folks. If there were only 2 Bibles to choose from, a lot of people would make the wrong choice. They really would. They would still be deceived, still believe a lie. But what if there's 80-some? Now, who is that from? Think about it. It's not hard to figure out. I want to give you 3 things real quick that will never change. Here, look at my time. Sorry, Pastor. 3 things that will never change. Number one, God's never going to change, folks. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." He is still a holy God. He still hates sin. The angels cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Another thing that's never going to change is Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And third thing is God's Word is never going to change. The Bible tells us in Psalms 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever." I'm not here this morning to apologize for the King James Bible. I'm here to tell you this morning it is the Word of God. I'm not here to be neutral on the subject. I'm here to tell you that I'm on God's side this morning. If you've got a King James Bible sitting right there with you, you have the Word of God this morning. You need to love it. You need to cherish it. You need to read it. You need to live it. And you need to obey it. It's God's words, folks. 3 quick points and I'll be done, Pastor. Why are there so many different Bible translations? Well, I've already mentioned 2 of them. One of them is rebellion against God and His authority. The other one is Satan, the father of lies, how he deceives everybody throughout all the generations. I just love what you got into Wednesday night with him being in heaven and drew a third of the angels down with him. What lie would Satan have to tell you to convince you not to believe God, to believe him instead? I mean, what kind of a deceiver is he? Think about it, folks. Think about that. You're in heaven. You're with God. You've seen God. You've seen God do all these great things. And Satan comes and tells you something that you believe over God? Folks, outside of his word, we don't stand a chance against him. We really don't. We need God's truth. We need his word. He lied to the angels. They believed him. He lied to others. They have believed him as well. Apart from God's word, we don't stand a chance. The third reason, the love of money. All these Bible translations certainly comes down to money. Not only is the Bible the number one selling book of all time, the Bible is the number one selling book every single year. I did some research this morning. God woke me up at 5 in the morning, so I had nothing better to do. there's 5 books out there that have ever sold over 100 million copies, not counting the Bible, not counting the Quran. Only one of those has exceeded 200 million copies. I want you to look at these numbers. I did not get these in your outline. This was this morning, sorry. In 2005, Bible sales were 25 million copies. That's 68,000 a day, 2,800 an hour, 48 Bibles are sold every minute in 2005. Now at $10 a copy, you do the math. $250 million in revenues for these sales. But even beyond that, there's a lot more Bibles being given out for free. The American Bible Society distributed 60 million Bibles. The Gideons distributed 59, almost 60. And this was worldwide for these two. But look at that. Almost four Bibles go out every single second. Isn't that incredible? I mean, to even see those numbers is incredible. But what I wanted you to see is this right here, folks. Unfortunately, love of money. These Bible translators copyright their texts. When Zondervan makes a Bible, Nelson can't print it. They can't get any of the money from it. When Nelson makes a Bible, Zondervan can't get any of the money from it. The reason, one of the reasons there's so many Bibles out there today is it really does come down to money. I'll close with this. We have the Word of God today. It's the King James Bible for English-speaking people. We need to love it, read it, cherish it, live it, obey it, and realize it is God's Word for us today. Amen. Pastor?